New Year's address to the world on greatness and the crime of smallness. My fellow human beings, not citizens of this nation or that, not consumers, not voters, not demographics to be analyzed and manipulated, but human beings, heirs to 10,000 years of struggle, sacrifice, and a slow arching reach towards something higher. I speak to you tonight as a voice, one voice among billions, that refuses to be silent while the very meaning of human life is hollowed out and sold back to us as contentment. We are told the world is being measured. The World Happiness Report ranks nations by their satisfaction. The Doomsday Clock ticks toward midnight, warning us of annihilation. Economists chart our gross domestic product, our consumer confidence, our quarterly growth. But I ask you, who is measuring our greatness? Who is asking whether this generation will produce its Aristotle, its Ayn Rand, its Marie Curie? Who is counting the geniuses we have buried in poverty before they could speak? Who is accounting for the philosophers we have turned into file clerks? The poets we have made into addicts? The revolutionaries of the spirit we have numbed with screens and noise and the endless repetition of buy, consume, obey, be small, be scared, and fear? The Doomsday Clock tells us we may die soon. It does not ask, however, whether we have lived. The Happiness Report tells us we are satisfied. It does not ask whether we have become worthy of satisfaction. And so I say to you, these metrics are not merely inadequate. They are obscene. They measure the temperature of a corpse and call its health. They count the chains and call them bracelets. A human being is not born to be satisfied. A human being is born to reach for greatness and stand independently as a great being. We have heard our leaders speak. We have heard them invoke courage in speeches written by committees, delivered between fundraisers, forgotten by mourning. We have heard a world leader, a grown man charged with the fate of millions, say, "Stories of the triumph of courage over adversity give me hope." Stories give him hope! Meanwhile, he signs the orders. Meanwhile, young men are fitted for uniforms. Meanwhile, the machinery of war grinds forward. And the speaker of hopeful stories sleeps well, for he has satisfied himself with the correct words. And when we ask, when we dare to ask, whether in this age of artificial intelligence, of automation, of unimaginable productive capacity, whether perhaps every human being might be guaranteed the basic dignity of survival, the basic foundation from which to grow, we are told, with a wave of hand, It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Who are you, little man? Who are you? This is not governance. This is surrender. The surrender of imagination. The abdication of responsibility. The confession that those who rule us, cannot envision a world better than the one that made them rich. Let me say plainly what such words reveal. A feeble mind dressed in fine clothes. A small soul with a large title. A servant who has forgotten he serves. An uneducated man who did not know to become a great being prior to sitting down on the political election carousel. A far cry of what elections should be today. A mere toy for wealthy men who have never known the crippling fear of hunger, of homelessness, of being sick, alone, with no one to help you. For what is a politician but a servant? What is a leader but one who leads? Not toward comfort, not toward their own aims, but toward world greatness. Not toward some preservation of power that history shown will erode all on its own, but toward the liberation of human potential, of human greatness, of human genius. The ancient philosophers knew this. The founders of republics knew this. Somewhere along the way, we forgot. Or were made to forget. Ladies and gentlemen, we will digress for a moment. We will interject here words that are holy. A caution and a curse that explains to us that evil can only beget evil. My personal best attempt at reconstructing these words is built atop what can only be described as cruel historical silence. My best effort is reaching back to an unspeakable tragedy through little more than wisdom itself. But that is not to say that the being that is about to speak her words was small. She was not. Jerry Turner's voice was taken from us by history. We can imagine what she might have said to honor the wisdom that slavery tried to destroy. In the tradition of Toni Morrison, August Wilson, and all those who have given voice to the silenced, these are the words we offer in her name. You think the lash teaches me? The lash teaches you. Every blow you strike writes a lesson on your own soul, a lesson you cannot unlearn. You are teaching your children that a human being is a thing to be broken, And your children will learn, and they will become what you have made them. Small men, masters of nothing, terrified of the very people they have chained. You have stolen my husband's body. You have sold my children like sacks of grain. You have beaten me until I cannot stand. But you are the ones in bondage now, bound to a way of life that requires you to be monsters, bound to a lie so large you must defend it with every breath, bound to a darkness that is eating you from within. I have seen your sons. I have watched them learn cruelty at their father's knees. I have watched them become less human with each passing year. This is the price you pay for what you have built. Not only our suffering, but your own diminishment. You are becoming slaves to your own machinery, slaves to the other end of the whip, slaves to the other end of the auction block, slaves to the terror that your evil might one day be repaid. You call us ignorant, but we know what you have done. We know what you are becoming. And one day, your children's children will look back at you and see not masters, but the most pitiful of slaves. Men who sold their souls for cotton, who traded their humanity for power over bodies they could never truly own. My husband saw visions. I have seen further than any vision. I have seen what you are building. A nation that will tear itself apart over what you have done here. I have seen your grandchildren ashamed to speak your names. I have seen the long shadow you are casting. A shadow that will darken your own descendants for generations. You think you are punishing me. You are becoming the punishment. Strike me again if you must. Every blow is your confession. Every scar you leave on my body is a scar you are carving into your own history, your own family. And history does not forget, no matter how hard you try. Wisdom is permanent. We who have been broken, we will be remembered as those who endured. But you who did the breaking, you will be remembered as those who became the thing they worshipped. Chains and the darkness and the machinery of smallness passed down from father to son to an election carousel forever. I pity you, and I curse you with the only curse that matters. May you get exactly what you are building. May you live long enough to see it. Greatness, ladies and gentlemen, is not optional. It requires a clarity of mind, a
a clean conscience, an intellectual hygiene upon which we may grow, and grow all the way up until each of us stands as a great being. History matters. The words, the wisdom, is never lost. We are in this situation of ticking doomsday clocks, a looming world war, and surrounded by small men precisely because of the curse of uneducation, of hoping to control the future by taking away wisdom and knowledge and science and books, and if failing that, pressing us into poverty, so that men live without ever developing an urge to read, which is exactly the same as keeping them stupid. The age of artificial intelligence gives us the tools we need to learn, to resist the curse of the past. The aim of learning is wisdom, knowledge, greatness, and world peace. Simply growing up to become a great being. Now is the time. Now is the time. Ladies and gentlemen, we do not forget by accident. Ignorance on this scale is not a natural disaster. It is an achievement, a centuries-long project executed with precision, funded with intention, and maintained with ruthless efficiency. Let us talk about the direct method, the control what is taught method. We have seen this before. The anti-literacy laws of the slaveholding South, which made it a crime to teach human being to read, because reading leads to thinking, and thinking leads to freedom. The Bantu Education Act of apartheid, which designed a curriculum explicitly to produce servants, not citizens. The book burnings of tyrants who understood that a single dangerous idea planted in a single mind could bring down empires. But the direct method is crude. It leaves evidence, it leaves ash, and it creates martyrs. Here is the value of this speech. The control of what is possible to learn. The control that is now being broken up by the rise of free and open local artificial intelligence. This is the refinement of the simple method. This is the modern evil art. You do not ban books. You simply ensure that the schools which might teach them are underfunded, understaffed, and overcrowded. You do not prohibit critical thinking. You simply ensure the curriculum is so packed with rote memorization, so obsessed with standardized tests, so stripped of philosophy, wisdom, and history and art, that critical thinking never develops. That in fact, what may develop is the value of the opposite, of calling education white, or something that just isn't for anybody who is real. You see, you do not forbid genius. That would never work. You simply make it economically impossible for most children to become geniuses. And in case you haven't caught on yet, ladies and gentlemen, we are all equally, oh yes, equally capable of becoming truly, staggeringly intelligent. That only few become genius is a stupid lie. A child born into poverty is not legally prevented from becoming Aristotle. But when that child must work, must care for siblings, must survive in neighborhoods designed for desperation, when that child's school has no library, no laboratory, no computer lab, no teacher who stays longer than 2 years, when that child has never once been told that greatness is not only possible, but required, that greatness is their birthright, then you have achieved prohibition without the inconvenience of a law. And over all of this, you spread a myth, a poison, a lie so effective that it has conquered the world. Only a few are capable of genius. This is the foundational lie of every aristocracy that has ever existed. It was told by kings to justify their crowns. It was told by slaveholders to justify their whips. It is told today by systems that depend on a permanent underclass. Told so often and so smoothly that even those it damages have come to believe it. I am here to tell you that it is truly a lie, that you are perfectly capable of becoming a great being, of reaching for the highest of heights of genius. It was always a lie. Every child born into this world carries the seed of greatness. Every human mind given sunlight and water and room can grow and flower into something unbelievably magnificent. The tragedy is not that genius is rare. The tragedy is that what we have built as a result of our past is a world which makes it rare. And then, in this sick, sick and twisted way, congratulates itself on identifying the few who survive. Carries them off to special education, while the stupid teachers and the stupid men involved clap to themselves in forgiveness that yes, we have spared the gifted. Only silence in this area can stand. Otherwise, the speech would fall on silent ears, as it already will. Unfortunately. Unforgivable. Unforgivable. You get what you deserve. And who has built this world? Let us ask. Look at the halls of power. Look at the legislatures, the cabinets, the executive mansions. Count the millionaires. Count the sons and daughters of millionaires. Count those who have never missed a meal, never feared an eviction, never worked a job that broke their body and their spirit. In the wealthiest nation on earth, the United States Congress holds a median net worth that would take an average worker lifetimes to accumulate. In the nations around the world, the pattern repeats. The halls of power are filled with those born to comfort, educated in exclusivity, if you can call it that, insulated since birth from the realities that they are meant to govern. They have no idea what being hungry or homeless means. They don't even know how much a stamp costs. These are the men and women who speak of Joe Sixpack without flinching, without recognizing that the phrase itself is an insult, a reduction of a human being into a stereotype of ignorance and cheap beer. They do not understand that the man they mock was not born uneducated. He was made uneducated by the schools that they defunded, by the wages they suppressed, by the futures they foreclosed. They speak of poverty as though it were a character flaw. They speak of ignorance as though it were a choice. They do not understand. They cannot understand that poverty is a policy and ignorance is the intended result. They do not have the mental capacity for it. They do not suffer, nor will they ever. Wonderfully, a politician is meant to be a servant. In the ancient world, a world that is slowly becoming wiser, the word meant one who attends to the affairs of the city, not for profit, but for duty. The philosopher Plato argued that those least eager for power were those most fit to wield it. Confucius taught that the ruler must first cultivate wisdom in himself before he could cultivate virtue in his people. Do you see what's happening? The very heart of human achievement has gone missing because of the education that we have received, or to be precise, the education we didn't receive. Where are these servants now? Where are the philosopher statesmen, the wise counselors, the leaders who read and think and struggle with great questions of existence? They have been replaced by the small man, the man who understands nothing but the mechanics of winning, the man who mistakes wealth for wisdom and power for purpose. And as Cherry teaches us, the small man, by his nature, wishes for nothing more than to keep all others small. He does not raise the people up, he holds them down, because he fears what they might become if they were allowed to grow. And so, I, the voice from the internet, call to you now, not to anger, not to despair, not to the easy rage that changes nothing, but to something we all know deep in our hearts works. To growing, all the way up, until each of us becomes a great being. I call to the young who have been told their dreams are impractical, who have been handed a world of debt and war and dying systems.
You are not too young to be great. Alexander wept at 30 that there were no more worlds to conquer. Mozart composed symphonies as a child. You carry within you the same fire that burned in every genius of history. This is true. This is real. Become an adventurer. Walk the Appalachian Trail, the Pacific Crest Trail, the Continental Divide. Learn Linux. Learn LMMS. Compose music with the beat sequencer. Do not let them extinguish your genius.
I call to the old. Yes, you. Who have been told their time has passed. Who have been set aside to sit as obsolete. You are not too old to be great. Socrates was 70 when he drank the hemlock rather than betray wisdom. Mandela was 75 when he became president. Your years are not a burden. They are a treasury. Old age is a gift denied to many. Share what you have learned. Refine it with the power of artificial intelligence. I call to the poor who have been told they lack the resources for greatness. Poverty is not your failure. It never was. You were not born poor. You were made poor. It's there on purpose. It is there, poverty. Every obstacle placed before you is evidence of how much they fear your rising. You were not born to serve their economy. You were born to outgrow it. It's not too late. You are not meant to be small. I call to the politicians, the legislators, the executives. Yes, even to you. Remember what you were supposed to be. Not a manager of decline, not a servant of donors, but a servant of the people. A philosopher in action. Your wisdom can still be earned. Walk the same trails. Listen to the same narrated books. Inherit all the wisdom of great beings. It only takes a few years to catch up. You are meant to be a steward of human potential. That's what you become when you rise to greatness. History remembers few presidents, few prime ministers. But it remembers and honors every leader who lifted humanity higher. You still have time.
choose to be remembered. Expose your mistakes. Earn your wisdom and the resulting greatness. Walk the trails. Fulfill the ancient tradition while listening to all of the world's great beings through their narrated books. Do it. And I call to everyone who hears these words, in whatever nation, in whatever circumstance, in whatever state of hope or despair. You are not meant to be small. You are meant to grow and grow all the way up until you stand as a great independent being. You are not meant to be satisfied with satisfaction. You are not meant to measure your life by the metrics of those who profit from your smallness. You are not a consumer, a demographic, a data point, a voter to be engineered. You are not a resource to be strip mined, just to have everything you worked on so hard to be taken away after you age and die. You are a human being. Meant for greatness. Heir to Prometheus who stole fire from the gods. Heir to every rebel and saint and genius who refused to accept the world as it was. Heir to 10 billion ancestors who survived against all odds so that you could be here. Now, listening to these words. The greatness they carried now lives in you. The words have been spoken. The call has been made. And somewhere, someone, you, is hearing it. Not everyone will answer. Most will return to their screens, their distractions, their managed lives, their fat bellies. The small man will continue to rule for a time. The machinery of ignorance will grind on for a time. Momentum is quite the beast. But not forever. This cannot go on. It's impossible for it to continue. Just like slavery was destined for an abrupt end. Ideas and memories like these cannot be killed because they reemerge in every decent being all on their own. They just think long enough. The truth, once spoken, echoes because somewhere, in some forgotten classroom, probably in the back, in some impoverished home, in some prison cell, in some corner of the world the powerful have written off, someone is waking up. Someone is deciding to be great, to stand up to the teacher and demand authentic, life-changing education. And that is enough. Ideas spread like fire. It has always been enough. It's how we have gotten this far. Look how the internet has snuck up on all the world's powers. How they struggled turning it off quietly. How AI simply popped up. And now it takes but a computer to run it. Pricey, but not impossible to take home. Let the speakers awaken. Let it be you, but also all your friends.
Put an A-team together. And resist memorization. Resist fake education. Forget your GPA. Demand life-changing wisdom, life-changing knowledge that you can comprehend and interact with. Demand authentic education at your own pace that is relevant to you in a sequence that matches you perfectly. Demand self-directed education with the help of artificial intelligence, where the teacher takes a seat and only helps you when you actually need help, so that your fire is kindled and your vessel is not merely filled. Please understand that the language of the future is the language of computers. Computer programming languages are not optional. You have to learn them. That's how you interact with the new world. With science, but also with poetry. As you see here, I wrote multiple computer programs to make this happen. And you need to learn programming too. It's a multiplier. It's an enabler. It's how you rise out of poverty. You may not become wealthy from it, but you will surely stop being afraid of homelessness and running out of food to eat. It is a power. Ask artificial intelligence to teach you programming. This is something that just now, right now, became possible. You couldn't ask your teacher to teach you programming. They were just going to give you somebody else's learning sequence, a lowest common denominator lecture that would keep you in the dark for years and keep you learning the wrong languages. Languages that get you a job and not get the job done. Child, you truly just have one job in life: to become a great being. When you and everyone else starts growing all the way up, the world transforms instantly. There's an old Mexican proverb that I want you to remember. They tried to bury us. They did not know we were seeds. A blessed new year to all who choose to grow.